Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but stop by there just to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, you know, I found this quite humorous today, and I don't know if you've happened to come across this little piece of, I don't know, video or however they're going to get it out there, but did you see the Bryce Harper introductory press conference today?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you get a chance, look it up, because there's kind of a humorous moment where he says they want to bring a title, and he says, D.C. So I'm guessing he forgot where he signed already?
I mean, you were in one place for, you know, forever.
So, but yeah, not the greatest start, especially with the Philly fans. I thought that was kind of funny to kick things off for him there, but just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. But you know, one of those fun things. But you know, also, you know, one of the things that put out, Fanatics put it out, I guess apparently he sold the record for the most jerseys in a 24-hour time period now. So did you buy one?
No, I'm not a Phillies fan. I was waiting for you.
Well, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have bought one. You know, that would have been, you know, perfect for you.
Well, maybe if they win a World Series, then I'll think about it.
So, you know, I'm trying to remember the Phillies, like, put how much their ticket sales include the day of the signing. You know, there's a lot of that, of course, going on. That's something that happens when, you get these signings. So I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. But, yeah, have you become more excited about it since it happened?
Baseball or Phillies? Or
no, the Phillies and Bryce Harper. Excited about that?
No, I mean, good for them. They finally landed him, but, you know, I mean, the team that wins the offseason never wins anything. And not only that,
I don't know,
you know, he's one of the
did they win the offseason?
Key top players. He's been like key top players in the National League. And from 2012 till last season, you know, the Nationals were never able to make it past the first round.
Well, you know, more important news, you know, Manny Machado doubled for his first hit of the spring. Tim Tebow also got his first two hits of spring training today. So, you know, you got that going for you. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say who they faced. I just saw the headline there. But, you know, one thing I saw that came out is the point where teams are naming their opening day starter, just a couple guys go out there and, you know, pitch three or four innings and then get hooked. You know, I'm calling that for the Cubs because they didn't come up with that John Lester would be the opening day. But the Dodgers actually finally came out and admitted today that they might not be ready for opening day. Are you buying him as the starter when that time comes along?
I thought it was indefinite, as in we might not see him all season. So I was already.
Well, I'm trying to. You know, they worded it today that he was making. I think they described it as slow progress, some kind of progress today. But I mean, at this point, wouldn't you be shocked if he actually made the start?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to injured players, especially pitchers, you know, you never really win the postseason in April, but. You know, it doesn't hurt to have those wins, but at the same time, I think you'd rather have your top starter going strong in September, October, than rushing him to pitch in April.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, if he's healthy, you know, he makes it back, it's no big deal if he makes it start. But, yeah, if there's any question, you know, whatsoever, and, you know, they're at home, so obviously it would be nice to have him. You know, make the start. I mean, it's not like it's not going to sell out anyways. It's opening day, but you know, I think you got to. You know, at this point, you got to be safe. I mean, yeah, you know, hold them. You know, skip him. You know, turn and deep. Make sure he's 100% and let him make that April start. That's probably better off for him. So, yeah, you know, they could just, you know, pop walk and let him make the day start. I don't think of a deal, you know, to anybody. But, you know, we'll have to wait. Yeah. You know, I know a couple other starters. John Lester, I think if DeGrom gets the start for the Mets, just tie on the start. The Padres. I did want to look and see if the A's and Mariners have announced them yet, because they open. Here you go, Dan. The opening day game, or technically it's opening Tuesday, March 20th. If you happen to be up at 4:30 a.m., it's going to be carried live on the Mickey Mouse Network.
Well, at least I can listen to it on my way to work, right? Well,
yeah, it looks like the first two games will both be straight live at 4:30 in the morning. Maybe I'll get lucky and be able to catch the end of them on the way home. So, you know, that will be interesting. I wanted to check that as well. Off the top of your head, are they going to come back and play spring training games again after that?
I think so. I mean, I don't remember, but I think the team, except for, you know, the 25 guys that go on the trip, I think everyone else stays in Arizona. So.
Yeah, well, they actually have Oakland listed playing. Last day of spring training games is Tuesday, March 26th. Oakland will be at San Francisco, and Seattle will host San Diego. So, yeah, they're, you know, and I hate when baseball does this. I get that, you know, you want to throw the game or whatever, but it's just so stupid. Like, oh, yeah, the season started and we played two games. Now we're going to wait a week for everybody else to play.
I mean, it really doesn't make any sense.
So yeah, it just it's just one of those. I don't like. You know, I know everybody gets excited because you're playing in another country, but let's figure things out. You know.
Well, I mean, and how great of it is it? I mean, I guess the people overseas in Japan get to see major leaguers in Ichiro and Mariners jersey, but the same token, you're really not getting the best guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you'll... Okay, well, great. You know, you'll get to see Ichiro. And those are probably the only in America this year, right? I mean, you'll be on the team the rest of the year, or do you think you will?
No, I don't think you are.
So, you know, yeah, so it's just kind of like, you know, so I honestly think he'd be better off just staying and playing in Japan after it's over, you know, where they, you know, just so he could actually play. But yeah, I don't know. It would be fun to see those games a little bit, but I'm at work at that school, so I don't think I'd be able to catch any of them. Maybe, like I said, unless I get lucky and they run long. But since they're not local, I don't think be on the network radio is very limited. So I don't. But, you know, you will have the opportunity to watch them live if you're one of those people who are up at that time of the morning, not, you know, going to work or at work or, you know, for the reason you're up at 4:30. I didn't even realize anything was going on here, but... I've been complaining to you all off that the Cubs needed bullpen help. And the only real bullpen help I think they signed was Brad Brock. I guess apparently they restructured his contract due to what they called a medical review here. Brock is calling it a little bit of a viral infection, but I don't understand how that lowers your salary. Are we got another Cubs injury concern here in the bullpen to add to Brandon Morrow, or how worried here?
Can you repeat who the guy was you were breaking up as you were saying?
Brad Brock, the guy, the one interesting free agent reliever they signed.
Am I worried? I really don't know the guy, but I'm kind of not surprised because that's what it, you know, that's generally what happens when they're the smartest guy with their signings.
So, yeah, I just thought it was not where they, not where they need to be. You know, I think they really missed the on relievers, and hopefully I'm wrong and the bullpen doesn't explode. But, you know, we'll see. I'm just not sure, and that's the last thing they need is, you know, the one guy that, you know, they have, that I would have a little confidence in them putting a bullpen all of a sudden has a magical injury concern. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're going to have that concern no matter what all season.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, we'll have to kind of see. But I did find this kind of humorous here that, we're still waiting for Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel to find homes. And apparently the Astros haven't even spoken to Keuchel in weeks. You know, that was one of the rumored places he could be going back. The Phillies haven't expressed a little interest, but to no surprise, they don't want to go the 5 or 6 years that Keuchel wants. They just want short-term. Apparently, the Twins would actually be interested in either guy if they were willing to take a one-year deal. I'm sure a lot of teams would really be interested in jumping on that. And then there was a lot of reports that the Braves were going to get in on one of these guys because both Mike Fulton-Aywith and Kevin Gausman have had what they describe as ailment. You know, as of right now, the way they worded it is the Braves haven't deemed it concerning to pursue either guy. Did these guys overplay their hand, Dan, and they're just kind of, lack of a better term, SOL right now?
No, I think so, but, you know, this is going to be the biggest complaint as to why, you know, the players are going to push for a strike in 2021. Or not push,
what
they're going to threaten.
That these guys couldn't do 5 and 6 years deals or what?
Yeah, you know, the old, well, they're not getting what they're worth, or, you know, just pay them. And, you know, I mean, I get it. I'm all for the players, in the team, but at the same time, it also makes sense for the team. And when you sign a guy like Chris Harper for 13 years, you know, Philly sits at risk. And I still believe that the last 6 years of that contract are going to be, you know, and when it comes with an older pitcher, especially a closer looking for that 6 years, I mean, how many closers have we really seen that have been on it for 20 years, like Mariano?
Yeah, well, you know, and that was always kind of my battle, because obviously, you know, they can't cry collusion because Machado's paid, Harper's been paid. They're throwing money around, but, you know, I can't blame a team like you said. You know, who's dumb enough to give Kimbrel 5 years? And then, like, I personally like Dallas Keuchel as a pitcher, but I don't think he's a $25 or $30 million a year pitcher. You know, and then to go with 6 years, 5 or 6 years, you know, I can't even do that, and I'm a fan. So, you know, yeah, I don't have a lot of sympathy here for, you know, for guys. And, you know, I don't know what the hell Kimbrel was thinking. I mean, you know, I could at least see Keuchel, because Starr is down the line of Gossman's longer term. But, you know, for Kimbrel to sit there and think that, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm this, you know, he's not a really good closer, but, you know, you're asking for a contract that's going to take you until you're 35? How many dominant 33, 34, 35-year-old closers have we seen?
No, I mean, if that were the case, you know, Fernando Rodney would have been locked up for the last 10 years.
Right. You know, I mean, Robin, was he 50 yet? No, he's a guy. You know, still finds ways to get guys out. You know, and I mean, he's racked up some really good years as an older closer, but you wouldn't call him dominant, would you?
No. I would definitely think he's pretty consistent, though.
You know, yeah, it just, you know, it made for, you know, like I said, I was kind of shocked when I got 5 years. I want 5 years. Well, you know, we all want 5 years. You know, that would be great. But, you know, I mean, he just kind of became indignant. It was like, well, I'll sit out. If I don't get it, I'll sit out. Okay, well, sit out. I don't care. You know, nobody's going to miss you. You know, teams are just going to move right along. Whatever else,
you're not going to get that money in the independent.
Right. Yeah. You know, what are you? I mean, are you just going to stay home? Because that's not going to, you know, that's not going to allow you to improve. You know, and I know, you know, like I know Wade Davis, I looked it up. He had 43 last year as a 33. He's also 3-6 with a 4.13 ERA. I don't think I call that dominant, would you?
No.
You know, I don't know when he's at 8. No, it worked out that way. You know, Rodney actually had 24 saves last year before he got traded to the A's. I didn't realize the total was that high. So, yeah, he still ended up having a pretty solid year, even though he got shipped off in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, he, like I said, he's been pretty consistent, you know, in what he does. And while you're not looking for him to be your main closer, you know, he's definitely a great addition to your team if you need him.
You know, I think how long, you know, that for him, I mean, what is he now, 41, 42?
Mm-hmm.
So, I, you know, yeah, he's actually going to turn 42 before the season starts. So, it'll be interesting to see, you know, well, you know, he's closing now, so that help him a little bit, but... Yeah, I looked in here. Yeah, he's actually got 325 career saves. And this will be his 17th season. So, holy cow. yeah, there you go. You know, I don't remember him as a Cub. Do you remember him with the Cubs?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm looking here. It was 2015. He was really good there. He pitched in 14 games. He was 2-0 with a 0.45 ERA.
Well, didn't they get him at the very end of the season?
That's what I'm going to go down here and look and see if I can figure out how I ended up with them here, because they normally have down here. Yeah, he was actually traded to the Cubs by the Mariners. The player to be named later and cashed. So I don't know what the Mariners got for him, but they didn't come. So, you know, my guess is they took cash for him because there's no listed that he was traded for.
Well, because they're still trying to work out their Michael.
But yeah, you know, just kind of looking at that, you know, this year he'll get to the, you know, he needs four games to get 900 career appearances. So that's probably not too bad. I'm sure that's you know, pretty high total. You know, among relievers or pitchers as a whole. So, you know, kind of interesting stat card. I don't know. You think he's you think he's going to find his way into the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done, or do you know, think he's got enough name value as a closer there?
I don't think he has enough fame value, and then, you know, when he comes up, it's going to be the same old thing. Well, you know, if he did it all in, you know, Tampa, or, you know, wherever, he might have a shot, but the fact that he played for every team in the major league kind of hurts him.
Yeah, and, you know, and he has had his, you know, he's had his year. You know, he's played for 10 different teams, so he has bounced around a little bit. But yeah, you know, his numbers have been solid. You know, he's had some odd years when he struggled, but once he kind of, you know, he always seems to bounce back. So I kind of keep him thinking himself. I guess we'll see how he does. So yeah, that'll be interesting. But yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering with these two guys. Do you see especially Kimbrel getting signed with kind of the, you know, obviously nobody's going to give in to his demand of 5 years. Do you see him going through with the threat of sitting out, or do you think he breaks down and signs somewhere?
No, I feel like nobody wants to sit out.
I'm looking to see if there was any other kind of update here, but so yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything big on him. Now, do you think, you know, we talked about Kershaw a little earlier, and you know, Carlos Martinez has had some arm issues for the Cardinals where they've actually talked about putting him in the bullpen. Do you think maybe one of these two teams has to get in on Tyke State and bring him in with the injury to the top starters like that?
I'm so surprised St. Louis hasn't gone in with him all, you know, this entire offseason.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I mean, you wonder if they, you know, if you want to get, you, I mean, if you were to go to a new team, are you paying them $30 million?
Probably not.
So, you know, I'm sure that's quite a bit of a hold up with trying to get him in is, you know, number wise. So. Yeah, I guess we'll have to, you know, I'm sure about this till opening and how it works out.
You're right.
We didn't actually talk about, but you know, Chris Lewicki homered in spring training against the Blue Jays. Man, everybody was all over it. Like, he was the Tulo who you could play with the Rocks. Dan, help me out here, Dan. I am so baffled by this. I don't get the why this guy is gonna be some top.
Well, it's spring training, you know. I mean, I have nothing. I don't get it. I don't understand why everyone thinks he's just. Oh, I muted myself. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm baffled at the fact that, you know, like I heard some guy talking about what a great everyday shortstop he's going to be for the Yankees, and I'm like, really, he's going to play every day? They're going to be lucky if he can play twice a week. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. This will be interesting. But yeah, I mean, they were all over it. Like he's gonna win the MVP or something. And it was just like, yeah, you know, we're talking about a guy who didn't play last year because he was injured, and the year before that he played very minimal games because he was injured. And now we're buying the fact that at 34. All he needed to do was move to a team that plays on grass to be 100% and play 150 games. I was a little baffled by that, but you know, that's what I was kind of hoping you would help me out. So. Did you mute yourself again? Because I can't hear you.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a Yankee, so that makes it, that's why he's going to be so much better.
Yeah, is that the thing? All he needed to do was, you know, go to the Yankees to be the top baseball?
Yeah, well, you know, once you get in the pinstripes, you get this, like what happened for A-Rod. Kobe Ellsbury and Mark Teixeira.
You want to name a couple more guys who got hurt and couldn't do anything?
the list was running out. I couldn't remember anymore.
You know, so. But yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, great. Here we, you know, here we go. This guy is, you know, the you know, the new it thing. And I'm, you know, I mean, I don't know why I seem to be the only naysayer, but it's kind of like, man, what, you know, what is going on that I'm not seeing? I mean, obviously I'm not at spring training every day, but you know, he's played through spring trainings before without injury, and you know, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. We're gonna anoint him the next great Yankee shortstop, and then what the hell happens when Didi comes back?
Yeah, well, I mean, for the Yankees' sake, you know, I really hope he does play really well in April as an everyday shortstop. But you've got to figure, with the way baseball sets things up, the, you know, March dates that are opening the season with, what do you figure? At least 5 games are rain or snowed out. So, you know, you kind of hope for that. Like I said, you know, for the Yankees' sake, you hope he's a great everyday player till Didi gets back. And I think the problem, not the problem so much, and the issue is the fact that, you know, Tulo has that sort of name power where, you know, a couple of years ago when Jeter was ready to retire, I'm like, so who are they going to get to replace him? And they didn't really go after anybody. They let Serdidi stroll in, take that place. And, I mean, up until he got hurt last year, he was just phenomenal. And, you know, I think, you know, he's not – he doesn't have that name value that the media likes.
Yeah, is that his poor problem, is just the fact that, you know, even though he's proved all this, he's still not – good, he's still not good enough for him?
Pretty much. And, I mean, you know, that's the problem with the media. They get so hyped up on certain guys, and they fail to look at what's really going on. Because in the national media, you can only look at so many guys, right? You can't look at the whole team. What are you doing?
I guess. I mean, it just, you know, again, like I said, it was just kind of like, you know, I'm listening to this. And, you know, the national, you know, I get that MLB Network is really just kind of like another version of the YES Network, because they show, you know, so many Yankee games and everything. Yeah, you know, started yakking about him being the everyday shortstop, and I was just like, wait, what? This is a joke, right? I mean, he can't play every day, but I guess I'm an idiot. So, not that that would be the first time.
Well, I mean, it's one of those we'll just have to wait and see. And, you know, do we say I told you so when it happened? I don't know, because I think everyone will have seen it coming, or, you know, after that, then everyone will have seen it coming. But I find it funny, even here in Chicago, I know you're not, you pretty much eliminated yourself from listening to either of the two stations. I occasionally do on the weekends, depending on, you know, what I've got going on. But it just cracks me up, because this year, all of a sudden this year, I had to repeat myself on that one, give you a different inflection. Now we're not so much concerned, but the fact that Brandon Morrow has injury issues is finally being brought up. You know, where last year was,
yeah,
oh, it's a great signing. You're going to have, you know, the closer of the future.
Yeah, how long have I been talking about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, it just cracks me up, because now everyone's on board with that.
Why don't they listen to us, Dan? I've been talking about the signing.
I don't know. I mean, and it's like, oh, I'm supposed to get excited about the guy who used to set up for Kenley Jansen.
And I know you mentioned this, I'm just going to want to buy you real quick. The Yankees open with a 6-game homestand and then they go to Baltimore. So I,
you know, I mean, there's a cool
being in New York with the way the weather is, they could run into some rough weather. But yeah, I, you know, maybe Baltimore, but yeah, I don't know. They do come, oh no, they're at home against the White Sox. So yeah, they're not coming here yet, but yeah, we'll have to, but, yeah, you know, the local guys drive me kind of batty with,
you know,
like you said, I mean, they have to protect their, you know, their way so they can still get, and, you know, they can get the things done with the team that they need to get done, where, you know, you and I can just kind of, you know, we're not expecting a team, so we say, hey, you know, this is wrong, and, you know, taps or whatever, and, you know, that's...
Well, and even that, what still cracks me up, and, you know, because now the one, well, neither station has an affiliation with the White Sox anymore, and how upset they are over the Machado thing, and I'm sitting out here, and I'm like, man, are you just emphasizing your anger to reflect that of your listener? Because, I mean, I would definitely feel calls from fans and let them air it out and then take all that, compile it, and send it to Rick Hahn and Kenny, maybe more so Kenny. But at the same time, I know it's different since I'm not a White Sox fan, but I don't disagree with it. Although I think deal was better. I think their deal was better for the team and for the player if he bet on himself.
Yeah, you know, the Sox made a good offer to Machado. You know, you can't fault that, you know, it was a bad offer, or, you know, they were trying to short side anything or anything like that. They made a really good offer. It just, you know, money-wise, it didn't catch up to what the Padres were offering, and, you know, he took money.
He took
over
the guarantee.
Right.
No, he took the guarantee.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, he took kind of what, you know, Bryce Harper did. Instead of going short-term 4 years with the Dodgers and going back out on free agency, he took long-term guaranteed money. You know, and yeah, Machado basically did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I don't blame either guy for doing it, but I find it interesting that, you know, we're talking about two guys who are supposed to be, you know, top players in the game. I mean, I think these guys are both top five baseball, you know, Major League Baseball players, that neither one of them wanted to bet on themselves.
Yeah. Well,
so,
you know, that was the big thing with the local guy that covers the White Sox was, you know, as he's paired up with, you know, another longtime host, I'm talking about Bruce Levine, while the other host was just dogging Kenny and Rick Hahn and the White Sox and how they dropped the ball and they dropped everything and, you know, they're just going to tank it again. You know, he's like, listen to me. What it says to me is Manny didn't want to bet on himself. Supposedly, you know, Rick Hahn won't come out with the details of the contract because, I mean, let's be honest, what does it matter now? They didn't sign him. But essentially, from what Bruce Levine was told or what he gathered and investigated, was that Manny could have made upwards of $350 to $400, somewhere in that realm, with incentives. And, I mean, you and I have talked about this a million times, and every time I talk about it, you almost immediately shut me down. Not that you're telling me I'm wrong, but you're just telling me the truth.
Oh,
and that the you know, the union, players union, would never agree to anything like that. And I still believe that incentive based contracts would be the way to go to keep a guy long term and,
yeah,
you know, to not only bring value for the team, but in the later days, if you're not performing at that level, you know, the team's no longer stuck with such a high contract. While you're stuck with the guy, maybe you can still bring somebody in and hope that your guy doesn't
hit the markers, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I know, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I talked about this just a little bit yesterday, and what his problem he had with it was, you know, the way the offer was structured is, I guess it was 8 years with two incentive years, and he was saying that there was no way Machado could ever reach the incentive to extend the contract to that ninth and tenth year. So that was his hang up with the deal. But I never really saw the contract, so I don't know what they were asking of him to, you know, to get those last two years to kick in.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing. Like I said, you know, Rick Hahn's not gonna throw it out there, and none of us are ever really gonna see. So we could all just speculate. And I mean, I thought it was 7 years. With three ops, you know, three incentive years.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the last I heard was 8 with 2 option years. But I don't know. I mean, that could have been, a felonious report. It could have been 7 with 3. We'll never know. The reports they made, it sounded like a pretty good offer. You know, and I know, you know, what's the other thing that's kind of humorous to me is, okay, he didn't take the deal. I know you're upset because you wanted to see, you know, your team as a Sox fan land a guy like this. But let's be honest. If they signed Manny Machado, are they a playoff team this year?
No, and the team who signed him, the San Diego Padres, while they, you know, threw out their new jersey colors, uniforms, and hats, for the regular season, which, you know, is pretty cool. I don't even see them as a playoff team. I don't see them even grabbing the wild card.
Right. Okay, so you sign Machado. How many years away from the playoffs are you still? I think the Sox are probably 2 to 3 years away, even in a weak AL Central, and less pitching develops much faster than anybody thinks, because you got to remember, unless they sign that one veteran stud, they don't have a big-time pitcher at the top of the rotation. You know, I know they want Carlos Rodon to be that guy, but we don't know if he will. You know, Michael Kopech coming back from Tommy John, we won't see him this year, so they're going to baby him next year. That's 3 years away for Kopech. Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez are improving, but I don't know if I see either guy as an ace who can go out there and win you a game when you've got to have a win. So how far away are you? I'd say at least 3 years.
Well, and not to mention, if you had Machado, aside from Eloy Jimenez, you still need to fill out some of that outfield.
Right. Well, they do have, remember, they have that other kid, that Luis Robert. I believe he was a Cuban signee who's another projected fantastic outfielder. But, you know, he's probably going to start at either high class A or double A. So he's 2 to 3 years away from being here as it is. So, and by the way, have they said that Jimenez isn't ready for the major leagues yet and he's got to start the season at triple A for at least a month? I haven't seen that announcement yet.
No, you won't see that till March 20.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, the Blue Jays did already come out and say it was Vlad Jr., so I thought maybe the White Sox would jump on and try to bury, you know, their story there with the Blue Jays. You know, because I did see an article today that asked if Fernando Tatis Jr. was ready for the majors, because, you know, he's the Padres' top prospect who should be here. But now, you know, he'll have to go down for his 2 weeks, month, or whatever he needs to push the arbitration date back one more year. So, but yeah, I'm waiting for that White Sox announcement that him is ready and he needs a little more AAA seasoning.
Well,
go ahead before I change subject on you.
No, with the crappy weather that we're going to have opening, you know, the first couple of weeks of opening season, why not keep the kid down in Carolina?
Yeah, might as well. Let him play at least, you know, so he doesn't have to, you know, so he doesn't have to deal with, you know, maybe not playing full time. It, you know, not that it's a bad thing. And again, like you and I have said, they're not breaking any rules.
No.
You know, this was the union who agreed to this. So I know it's upsetting to the players and, you know, their agents and stuff like that. But you got to go to the union on this because they let that get in. So, you know, that falls on their shoulders there, which I'm sure will be changed. You know, when does the collective bargaining agreement end up? End up for baseball?
I think it's for 2021.
Okay.
So after that season.
I believe Stu predicted on Friday that there will be a work stop. So.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not the 90s.
Yeah,
you know, it's not the 90s anymore. I think they'd be crazy to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, they got some time together and talk and, you know, all those things. But, yeah, you know, since we're, you know, I don't know, what, about 15 minutes left, I saw some actually worked out to be really bad news for you, and I don't know if you caught this one today. You know, the Lakers seem to be in a bit of an odd free fall. They actually lost a game, I think it was either last night or Saturday, to the Phoenix Suns, who I believe have the worst record in the NBA.
Yeah.
And with them kind of tumbling and not making, you know, looking like they might not make the playoffs, apparently they have suspended or paused on however you look at it, bringing in Carmelo Anthony, because obviously they don't want to sign him if they're not going to make the playoffs. So I thought that was a little disappointing for you because your guy may not end up back on the court this year.
That's kind of sad. I was hoping he'd be there next week.
Yeah, you know, for a while it looked like there he was going to be, but yeah, you know, they have just been so bad lately. I know they lost to, it might have been Houston, which was, you know, kind of expected. You know, obviously
yeah.
Houston is, you know, the fourth or fifth best team in the West record-wise. But the Suns were 12-51 when the Lakers came rolling in the other night and they got beat. So, yeah. you know, and they do play the Clippers tonight. I believe the Clippers are the team that's actually holding the AC. So maybe if the Lakers could get a win and get a little something going, but they're five games out of that eighth spot now, Dan, and we're running out of time. So I guess actually, let's see. Oh, it's the Spurs who have the eighth spot. The Lakers are 4.5 games behind them. So I guess two prongs here, Dan. A, do you think Carmelo ends up signing with them? And then B, do the Lakers make the playoffs?
I'm just going to roll the dice and say yes and yes.
yeah, because they have, what, they've played 63 games. The NBA plays, what, 82? So we're looking at 19 games left for them to make up 4.5 games. It is possible. It would help with a win over the Clippers tonight would be a big way to kind of get that started. But I guess that's how, if or how that kind of goes.
Well, and, you know, we'll run through this week, and then next Tuesday the Lakers take on the Bulls.
Oh, you're going to that?
You know, oh yeah, we'll be there, up top, expensive tickets. But you know, my nephew texted me Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's like, I hope the Bulls play like they did last night against the Lakers. I was like, well, I hope they don't go 4 OTs. So, but,
would you stay? That would be my question. Would you stay if it went 4 overtimes?
No. I got work the next day. but, you know, what I was going to ask you, if the Lakers don't get the win tonight and then they lose here in Chicago, do you think that's kind of hitting the nail on the head for them, or putting kind of the nails in the coffin?
Yeah, you know, you would be looking at, I mean, the chance of being 6.5 or more back with just seven, you know, maybe say 15 games to go, maybe a few more. Yeah, I think that would be the end of it. You know, and I would be interested if they would shut LeBron down, because I've heard a lot of people, you know, a lot of the experts and stuff on, you know, on the different NBA shows or just basketball shows or whatever you want to call them, say that they should shut LeBron down and just call the season a waste. So
after next Tuesday, yeah, I mean, you know, it's got to be bad in LA when one of the Lakers' biggest fans, and I'm not talking about the Joker, Jack, what was his name? Whatever, it doesn't matter,
Jack
the old guy. Jack Nicholson, I don't even know if he still, like, has the presence that he used to have there. But Snoop Dogg has been, I guess, allegedly selling his tickets for $5. I don't know if that's per seat or what. So, I mean, you know it's going to be bad when the celebs are just handing them out.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Instagram or YouTube. I'm guessing it's, you know, Instagram or something like that. But he had quite a profanity-laced tirade. This is Snoop Dogg I'm talking about the how the Lakers have been playing lately. So if you're on Instagram, follow him, or you can see it, you know, you may want to look that up. But, yeah, I heard see the whole thing, but I heard there was quite a bit of profanity involved, and I'm sure you know anything about Snoop Dogg, there's no surprise there, right?
No, I think he probably should have smoked whatever he smoked before he did that. Maybe he wouldn't have been angry.
So, and then you mentioned the Bulls, and I just happened to see the highlight for this article, so I had to click on it. The headliner, I guess I should call it here, Bulls will absolutely retain Paxson and Foreman. And the quote down here is from Michael Reinsdorf, who obviously is Jerry's kid. He is the COO of the team. And he confirmed in no uncertain terms Paxson and Foreman would be back next season. So there you go, Bulls fans. You got couple guys who thought Fred Hoiberg was the answer to your coaching issues and chased off a guy who had got you to playoffs every year he was here, and we're going to keep these two guys around a little longer. So good luck in the lottery the next few years, Bulls fans.
Wait, did you say they're not coming back or they're confirmed to come back?
Line source confirmed in no uncertain terms that Paxson and Foreman would be back next season. And the article is the Bulls will absolutely retain Paxson and Foreman. So they're not going anywhere.
Oh. I was like, I saw the light for a minute. Somebody slammed the door in my face right now.
So, yeah. There you go. So yeah, we'll get to deal with them for, you know, a little longer. You gotta wonder sooner or later if somebody's gonna wake up and realize we need to make a change, but you know, that's just kinda how it goes. What I do find interesting is it also goes on to praise Foreman's draft record. Now here's the guys he points out. You ready for this one? Jimmy Butler, Nikola Mirotic, Taj Gibson, and Bobby Portis. What do all four of those players have in common, Dan?
They no longer play for the Bulls.
The Bulls traded every single one of them. So it was great that they drafted them, and then they dealt them. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm going back next year.
Yeah, you did a great job drafting, guys, and then you got rid of him. So.
Yeah, I think maybe next season it's back up to Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, that would be the place to go, man. The Bucks look like a, you know, a fantastic team, and you know, if they could find a way to add another piece to good old, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, which I did pronounce correctly, you're welcome. You know, they could be a serious title contender.
Yeah, it might cost some penny, but I don't know. It's that, or you know, if my wife has another trip next, you know, this time of year. To her home base for work, Minnesota, which if we weren't going to visit her dad, we'll talk about this later, in April for Easter, I would not be here next week, as I would have been going to see the Timberwolves play, even though it's not the team I would want to have seen. And not so much, I'm not talking about the Timberwolves, but I'm talking about the, you know, Tibbs with Jimmy Butler Timberwolves. I wanted to see that team.
So yeah, well, that would have been perfect for you. So well, of course, then you'd have to go to see a Predators games too, wouldn't you, if you were going to Nashville?
No, my father-in-law lives in Florida.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Nashville for some reason.
No, but we are going to go to the Rays or see a Rays game in what looks to be probably one of the worst stadiums in baseball.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'll be interested to know what you kind of see down there and how that actually is. Because, yeah, I've heard such terrible things about it. You know, you wonder if it can be as bad as they say. So,
well, I'll be honest. When I did the stadium view for some of the tickets I was looking at, I was, you know, I'm trying to be non-judgmental, but I was not impressed at all. And we were actually trying to make it for that weekend when they're playing the Red Sox, but we can't make that weekend. So we're going to make a weekday game. So I'm not even bothering to pre-order tickets. We're just going to show up.
You probably don't have to there. I'm fine walking up.
No. Red Sox, yeah. Tampa Bay Rays versus Kansas City Royals, no.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you'll be just fine there. So you know, while you were stadium viewing, you happened by chance to float over to the A's new stadium, because I heard they made some changes, but I didn't hear what they were. Did you by any chance look around and what they have done?
No, I've seen renderings, but you know, they keep changing the what they're planning to do, so I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, well, the only thing I heard was they said they made some changes to make sight lines better, but I didn't. They didn't show. You know, like the stadium looks cool, but they didn't show what they were really talking about. They just said it, and I figured you were the guy to ask.
I'll look tomorrow.
I give it a deal all of one. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go over there. You've got a life while you're in there. You're awesome. Don't forget to get it, you guys. It's an awesome time radio. Don't forget to get it. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go over there. Thanks for coming on and listening to us live. It's great to see you. Have a